Hey, everybody. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to either the live or the replay of our second session for our Killing Comparison Book Club. Welcome, welcome. I decided to use this particular book for a multitude of reasons. The title really did stand out with me because, especially in the age of social media, there's so much comparison going on. We're calling it inspiration, but can we really be honest? A lot of it is comparison. It's how did she get this? How did she get that man, that job, that body, that book? As long as you're using social media in the context of, I'm proud of my sister, I'm inspired by my sister, and come away from it before that comparison spirit so subtly sneaks up on us, because it's really subtle. Many of us have seen ourselves further along in certain areas in our lives. I mean, I personally, these last 3 years, I would have never thought I would not be working for the company I was working for 20 plus years. I would have never thought I would be where I am relationship-wise, where I am physically, health-wise, mentally, financially. So when you're in a valley, a pit situation, it's easy sometimes to compare yourself to any and everybody. But this book, even in the intro, and I'm not even done with chapter one, it's so many nuggets that I want to go over. We're probably going to, you can take our time with this book, ladies. We'll take our time. I want to, it's not quite seven, so I'm here early. I want to get some prayer time in. I want to give you a chance to come in the comments and to invite other women. You don't have to have the book to be a part of the discussion. I have my own stories and revelations that I'm going to be sharing throughout the process. But if you do want the book, and I would suggest that you get it, I got mine from the author's website, nonajones.com, I think it is. I'll find it and post it. But I do know that Thrift Books had a few copies for a very affordable price, and then Amazon, of course. I personally try to go through the author's own website so they can get more of the proceeds versus through third parties, because so much of the proceeds go to the third party, but they know that when they sign up. So, it's Tuesday. I look forward to our time together, sisters. I have been battling some illness the last few days. So if you haven't seen me live on camera the way you normally do, that is why. I am recovering. I am allowing God to heal me. Thank you for your patience, your kindness, your prayers, your check-ins. They are greatly appreciated and needed. So I want to pray, and then we're going to jump right into our book club discussion. I'm doing this on my cell phone, so I don't have all the bells and whistles that I'm used to seeing, but I should be able to see your comments, all right? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, first of all, God, here we are, just setting the atmosphere for gratitude for what you're going to do tonight in our discussion. Also, giving you honor for the day you've given us. Giving you praise for even being on the wake up list again and having an opportunity to have a better day than yesterday, making better decisions than we did yesterday, better choices than we did yesterday, making better moves than we did yesterday. And we really can't do that without your wisdom, your guidance, your word, your Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. So God, we open up ourselves, our minds, our will to being led by you. Many times we have been bamboozled into thinking that we're so powerful in and of ourselves, and it almost makes it seem like we don't even need you. But I need you, Lord. I need thee. Oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I can tell myself how great I am, but I really am only great because you made me this way. I'm really only alive because you allowed me to be. I'm really only able to move, live, have my being because of you. So I dare not puff myself up so much as if I'm just so wonderful and powerful and invincible that I don't need a risen savior, because I do. And you knew that. God knew that when he gave us his only begotten son to die and to be resurrected for us, for every sickness I'll encounter, for every sin I'll be tempted to commit. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. And I don't want to keep crucifying you by doing the same dumb stuff. Help us to be better, wiser, stronger as women, women of faith, women of virtue, women of integrity, transparency, honesty, and then like mothers and wives, the other hats we wear. We want to be better in every role, but we also want to fundamentally be the best version of us, for ourselves first, for you, and then for ourselves, and then for our family. The more we become better as women, the more we grab hold of what you've given us and who you've made us, the fullness of who you are in and through us. The least amount of time we'll spend comparing ourselves to others. You've given all of us an element of greatness. We all have a seed that can be watered and cultivated. You didn't leave anybody out. You gave all of us talents and anointings and giftings and callings. There is no need to compare, be envy, jealous. Everybody is necessary in the body of Christ. Everybody has a place. Everybody has a job. Everybody has a purpose. So God, as we continue in this book, help us to remember our unique purpose, our divine design, how we are to impact and touch others. And we'll be so ever careful to give your name praise, honor, glory. We thank you for resources financially, educational resources, job resources, transportation resources. We thank you for the grants and scholarships that are going to come so that we can better ourselves, improve ourselves, grow our businesses. Thank you for every entrepreneur in this group that is working to build businesses and help others build businesses. I thank you for an exponential growth that will happen in the month of April for us to be able to gain more customers, more clients, more business partners that will not only pay, but pay on time and give extra. God, we thank you right now for releasing held up funds, whether it be through class action lawsuits, disabilities, social securities, tax refunds, whatever it is, release it, release it, release it, Lord God. We have need of thee. We have need of thee, Lord God. And we thank you in advance for your miracle working power manifesting itself in our situation. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the book is called Killing Comparison. Reject the lie that you aren't good enough and live confident in who God made you to be. And thank you to Cousin Kenyatta, who came on last Tuesday and hung out with me. We had a great conversation. Go back and catch the replay of that, if you will. So here is what chapter one is introducing to us. It's called Everyone is Invited But You. Woo-hoo-hoo, except you. And the author begins to think about some of her own personal situations that she's experienced. Being a writer, being a popular speaker, she speaks about an incident where she looked online and all of her friends were being asked to speak at this Full Blossom conference. Every time she went on her timeline, another friend was saying, oh, I'm so happy to be speaking at this conference. It's going to be the bomb.com. And then she's like, well, why didn't I get asked to speak? Why didn't I get pulled into this? And how quickly we go from, oh, congratulations, to why I didn't get that. Comparison is so subtle, but it's so cutthroat. It really, really is. So she talks about how person by person, she's realizing how many of her friends were asked to be a part of this spectacular conference. And she's like, this is going to be the biggest virtual conference because the pandemic, you know, shut the world down. So this is going to be one of the biggest virtual women's conferences going on at the time. And she's like, how in the world did I not get invited? Do I not have the credentials to be a great speaker? Have I not traveled the globe? Have I not been on the continent speaking? Have I not been asked to grace stages all over the planet? And then she said the Holy Spirit asked her, why does it matter that you weren't selected? Why are you putting so much emphasis and focus on you not being there instead of celebrating the sisters that were invited? And she said, because everyone that she knows, anyone who's anybody, is speaking there. The who's who. This conference has the cream of the crop when it comes to conference speakers. It's going to be the largest online women's gathering. And I'm not going to be there? So the Holy Spirit responded to her and said, so you think you matter only because of the speaking invitations you receive? Ooh-wee. The Holy Spirit will put your behind in check in a minute. The Holy Spirit was like, wait a minute. So are you telling me you are basing your opinion of yourself and your own impact on whether or not you get invited to one conference? Come on. Has God not given you a mandate to speak to thousands of women across the world, but because you didn't get this one invite, you tripping? The Holy Spirit will check you if you allow yourself to be checked. So the Holy Spirit told her, you're insecure. And none of the authors like, what? I'm insecure? No. I ain't insecure. I mean, I know who I am in you, God. I know who you made me to be, God. I know I'm the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, lender, not the bar. You bless me beyond measure. I can't be insecure. And the Holy Spirit said, yeah. You think people are insecure if they don't like how they look or don't like what they have or don't like what they do. Those are expressions of insecurity, but they're not the root of insecurity. The root of insecurity is when your identity is built on an insecure foundation. Let me say that last line again, because I underlined it, highlighted it, starred it. The root of insecurity is when your identity is built on an insecure foundation. What does that mean to you? Put it in the comments. I'll tell you what it means to me. If you are basing your security level on hearts, likes, shares, comments, accolades, compliments, then you are not building your security in God. It's nice to have people compliment you. I would be lying through my own teeth if I told you it doesn't feel good to have someone say, atta girl, good job, LHG. You did that thing, girl. Or for someone to like your post, comment on your post, share your post. That does feel good. But what we cannot do, ladies, is to make that our basis of how secure or insecure we are. I've made posts that I thought were super powerful, and not one soul saw it. It don't feel good, but guess what? If God told me to say it, or if I felt the need to say it and I got it off my chest, I'm gonna keep scrolling. Who knows? Sometimes the algorithm takes forever to even show posts up and show up in people's feeds. They may not even see it. Or what you said may not be as important to them as it was to you as the person who said it. And that's got to be okay. This social media frenzy, and trust me, I spend hours on social media for my jewelry business and for my podcast and for other stuff too. But I know people in particular that will get angry with me if they see me commenting on somebody else's stuff and then comment on theirs. I'm being truthful. This is how twisted our mind has gotten when it comes to basing our security level on the internet and social media. The people who support you on Facebook, Instagram, whatever else, YouTube, they could be real true supporters maybe, or they may never meet you, or they could be just passersby. And I appreciate the people who take the time to even comment on my posts, read my posts, engage with me. But I cannot get into a place where I get up in the morning and if nobody is on my post saying, I agree, sure enough, that it ruins my day. Then that means I've given social media the power over my security level. And that should not happen. Okay? That's one instance that we bump our heads because we're being fed, our egos are being fed by it. And we don't need to have that because there's going to be times when you have a bunch of followers on social media, a bunch of likes, a bunch of shares, a bunch of comments. And then there can be days when ain't nobody saying nothing. And you got to be okay on either one. So the Holy Spirit got on Nona, the author. Like, you really are putting your security level in the hands of people and not God. Yes, you know what my word says, and you also believe it, the book says. And the Holy Spirit confirms. But knowledge and belief are not the same as faith. As long as you know my word in your head and believe it in your heart, but don't practice it daily, your identity will continue to be secured to the affirmation of others. My God. Let me put a bookmark right there. Can I talk to you about the affirmation of others and the condemnation of others and what that tends to do to the human psyche? After coming out of corporate America, after over 30 plus years of dedicated service, 22 years of service to one particular company, I was broken down to the white meat because I had a leader who had such unrealistic expectations for me that micromanaged me in such a way that every day I went to work to please her. I don't care what else was on the agenda. As long as I got her approval and her vote of confidence, I was okay. And you may say, that's not that bad. But yes, it is. Whatever I do, I have to do as unto the Lord. Yes, we all have a boss, someone that we report to, supervisor, manager, team lead, that's there to kind of guide us or whatever. But when you step into your job, when you log on to your job every day, your objective should be to worship God through your work and letting your light shine through your work. And not to please any man or woman. When you're doing your work right and you're showing up on time and you're putting forth your best effort, God sees it and God rewards us. The boss being happy is fine. And to a point, we do have to make sure that we are doing our job, the way the bosses prescribe. But that doesn't mean that our entire focus and attention should be towards making one individual happy. Because can I give you a real bit of information to help me that I learned? While I was trying to make that woman happy, nobody could make that woman happy because of her own trauma. People lead out of their trauma sometimes. And the reason why she treated me the way that she did over every small infraction, every missed period, missed spacing in an email, is because she grew up with that. Because she had hard-nosed parents and hard-nosed bosses that did the same thing to her. And in her mind, this is how you lead somebody. I didn't lead my team like that. Yes, I'm here to bring some correction when necessary, but more than correction, I brought nurture. I brought care and concern. That time of my life, working under those conditions, changed me. I wasn't the same happy, smiling, you know, just really happy-go-lucky person that even my coworkers knew me to be. It started to affect my attitude about myself. I second-guessed the very skills I knew I had. I second-guessed and doubted everything I did. I worked sun up to sun down, and it still wasn't enough. So when this author is talking about not having the root of your security in other people's expectations of you or other people's affirmations of you, that hit home for me, y'all. Let me read a little bit more. Holy Spirit says, you have built your identity on people's approval, talking to the author. People show their approval with likes on social media, but I demonstrated my approval through love on the cross. Come on, Resurrection Weekend. I approved of you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And my approval is unchanging. That's the problem with people. They'll approve you on Monday, but by Monday afternoon, they're slandering you somewhere. They talking about you somewhere. They're all in your face on Tuesday. Hey, sis. Praise the Lord, sis. You look good, sis. But little do you know, they have a secret animosity towards you for no real valid reason. So we can't afford to build our security and have the root of insecurity based on people's affirmations of us. It's very kind for people to affirm who we are or to congratulate you. I do that all the time. If you follow me on social media, when I see my sisters out here doing the dang old thing, I'm gonna be the first person in line saying, go girl. And it's genuine. It's genuine. I love to see us do good things. But I also am there for my sisters when we do some not so good things, make some not so godly decisions. I'm there in those instances too. I'm not just the person who was there to be your groupie when things are going great. Many of us are being broken down by some issues, and we're afraid to even connect with people because of what we feel people will think of us. I don't give a flying fruity tooties about what someone thinks of me. What does God think of me? I just had this conversation last night with someone that I very much respect about how we allow people to see us for what we really are dealing with, putting on this image for people. And to a point, I get it in business, but real world, I do look like what I've been through some days. Yeah, I do. I don't have on the makeup or the lace front, the lashes, the jewelry. Today was one of them days, which is when I don't have my camera on. I've been sick in my body, but I look forward to the fellowship, but I still wanted to come on tonight. And I'm here. We got to get to a point where we stop being fake and phony and present this facade for each other. How do I know that my sister needs help if all she's doing is saying, oh, yes, I'm fine. Oh, everything's perfect. Oh, I'm blessed to have these favor. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, yes. Okay, and that might be true. But how are you doing for real, sis? And I know you can't really have that kind of real conversation with every dang on body. I know that, y'all. But everybody needs a shoulder sometimes. We were created to long for community. No, we ain't got to put it all out in the streets for everybody to see and hear. I get that part. But for me, I will no longer subscribe to trying to cover stuff up for appearances. I don't care who sees me sweat today or yesterday. I'm alive. Every day is not the best day for me. So the author writes these words. Lord, you're right. You say in your word that people honor you with their lips, but their hearts are far from you. I now understand what you mean. I have honored you with my lips, but I'm not honoring you with my life. Lord, I need your help. Please deliver me from insecurity. Maybe somebody out there needs to do that. Ask God. I will be honest, I hate insecurity. Hate is a strong word. But there's times where I know that I'm hearing from God, and I may even feel that gravitational pull to go speak to somebody. And do you know sometimes I don't because of insecurity? Because they may not accept me. I don't have the title. I don't walk in that office. I don't have the scholarly credentials that others have. Who's going to listen to me? Some of you have been holding back writing your book, writing your play, accepting speaking engagements. I don't know who this is for today because you feel like you're inadequate. Well, trust me when I say if God called you, He will equip you, He'll prepare you. As a matter of fact, He will guide you in such a way where when you obey Him and you stand up to speak, He'll anoint your lips. And you may have a whole sermon prepared, but by the time you hit that mic, the Holy Spirit may shift. And next thing you know, you're going off in a whole different direction. I trust God like that. I trust Him like that. I wake up in the midnight hour sometimes writing things down that God tells me to say to people or to post or to study. I allow insecurity to stop me from being who I really can be. I know it's a call on my life. I'm not saying I'm called to preach, but I'm called to speak. I'm called to be a demonstration of what a godly woman should look like, sound like, act like, be like. We all called to that. I'm called to witness the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all of our mandate. But do we do it the way we should, even witnessing? Are you sometimes insecure because you don't know what someone will say if you were to walk up to them and just speak to them and introduce them to Christ? Lord, please deliver me from insecurity. So the Lord responds to Nona and says, Nona, What you're asking will require more than you expect. But if you trust me and obey me, I will help you to get free to freedom. You must no longer look to others for approval. You must only look to me. I'm going to say it again for people in the back. You must no longer look to others for approval. How easy is it to jump on Facebook and want to go back and see, well, who loved my post? Who made a comment? Who likes what I said? Who agrees with me? Who's engaging with me? We love that. I mean, let's be honest. The more engaging you get, you know, Facebook loves that. You know, it trusts you. Facebook trusts people who get good engagement. And some of us even get monetization from engagement. And that's cute and that's fine. What you cannot do is put so much stake in the approval and responses and shares and likes and hearts of others that you don't look to God for your approval, your validation, your affirmation. No human being, I'm going to step out on a limb on this one. No human being can validate you. Not even your husband. Validation and true affirmation should really be a God thing. And if it was, we probably wouldn't pick some of the men that we pick. Yes. Ouch. If we really sought God's approval and really realized that he really is the one that can help us be secure who we are, we wouldn't even accept every time Dick and Harry and lay with them and think we all right. I mean, it's girl chat. We can talk like that, right? We grown. Our decision making is indicative of our insecurity level. If you're settling for less than God's best, it's indicative of your insecurity levels. If all you want is a piece of man instead of the right mate from God, that speaks to our insecurity and low self-esteem and lack of self-confidence. Because if you truly loved yourself, if you truly knew who you are in Christ, if you truly knew how fearfully and wonderfully made you were, you would say, I ain't got to accept nothing less than what I know God has for me. It's not about being arrogant. I know what I bring to the table. It's about being convinced that it's worth the wait. I'm not going to be on here much longer, y'all. I'm going to get some rest. Couple other points in chapter one, part one. I'm going to have to do a part two. When the author was going through this moment of asking, why didn't I get invited? Have you ever had an incident where you didn't get invited to something? I can remember plain as day, y'all, when one of my team members walked up to me and she was like, are you going to so-and-so's 50th birthday party? I looked at her, well, no, I didn't get invited. And I wonder, why do people do that? If you get an invite to a party, I don't think it's right to go around asking people, are they going? Now, if you get a chance to be told who's going to be there, that's different. But you really have a 50-50 chance that that person did or did not get invited to that party. Now you got them feeling funny and sad in their spirit. And it did feel funny to me because the person whose party it was, I'm like, well, dang, I thought we were cool. But some people don't invite me to certain things because I'm not really a partier. But in terms of being with my people, celebrating monumental birthdays, you know, I do that kind of stuff. If it gets uncomfortable for me, I know how to get up and leave. But on the flip side of it, I also know that you can't invite everybody you know to every party. I know this from getting married. When I was sitting down with a dream, my wedding planner, trying to figure out who I can invite and who may not make the cut
to my wedding, I wanted to invite every trainee that I had ever trained in the history of me working at my company. And she says, well, unless you're going to invite 2,000 people and pay $20,000, we got to streamline this. So while I'm getting hung up on why did I get left out? What is it about me that didn't make the cut? And the enemy uses that. Oh, my God, ladies. The enemy uses that to make you feel like, hey, am I not a part of the group? Am I not worthy? Did I say something wrong? Do something wrong? Are they ashamed to be around me because of my weight? I mean, all these different questions. But at the end of the day, when a person has an event, one as intimate as their own birthday party, they can choose to invite whoever they wish. And it's not to say they don't love you. It may be that the guest list had to be a certain amount of people. The venue could only hold a certain amount of people. And unfortunately, you didn't make the cut that time. I hate to put it like that, but you weren't able to be invited. I won't say make the cut. That's the competition. But you weren't included. It don't mean to go back and royal eyes at them or go calling them. Now, what was crazy about my wedding, I had people calling me. I didn't get an invite. I'm like, well, then that means you didn't get an invite. I didn't have an invite to give you. They was holding my feet to the fire for this dang on wedding. Well, if anybody that can't come, I want these. I had a waiting list for my wedding. It was a beautiful day. I won't deny that. But I was grateful that people wanted to be there for my special day. But at the end of the day, whether you get invited or not, sometimes somebody can invite you to something and still don't like you. You can't be guaranteed that an invite means you really in like Flynn. You can't look at it like that either. You got to say, listen, Lord, I know I can't be everywhere and I won't be invited to everything. Let me be all right either way. Don't let me be bitter, resentful, hateful, because I didn't get invited to something. Come on now. We hold on to stuff and the enemy brings it back up. Remember, they didn't invite you to theirs. Don't invite them to yours. Now it's tit for tat. Now it's tit for tat. Because you didn't get an invite for theirs. Oh, I know I ain't inviting them. I didn't get an invite. Don't be like that. I mean, if you want to, you can. But that's how animosity sets up. I'll be that one that because you didn't invite me, I'm going to make sure I invite you to mine to show you how I could be the bigger person. That's just me. I know it's kind of petty, but I can be that sometimes, real talk. So that's part one of chapter one. I'm going to take my time with this. I got a few more pages that I want to do. So I may do another session this week later on. And then we start chapter two fresh on next Tuesday. I enjoy this. If you want to get the book, again, you can. Nona Jones has her own website. I think she has them there. But I got a copy from Thrift Books that was reasonable. And another copy I was actually given in a gift bag at a conference. And when I saw the title, I'm like, yes, because I have been bound by the act of comparison, being even comparing my now to my former. In 2012, I had bariatric surgery. I lost over 100 pounds. I went from 405 pounds to 240 in under a year. And to have gained a lot of that back, I look back over my life and say, what happened, Latanya? Well, I can tell you what happened. I got down to my desired weight, start feeling myself, start looking cute. And then I started feeling like I can start eating some bad stuff again. One piece of cake here, one and a half, two pieces, and thus 100 pounds fell back on my bones. My fault. But now that the weight is coming back off again, it's going off the right way, slowly but surely. So sometimes the comparison is not just comparing you to somebody else. It could be comparing yourself to yourself. Either way is dangerous. Either way is kryptonite. Either way, it makes you doubt who you are
and who God has made you now. That's why this book is important to me. I want to be so secure in who I am that I can hold my head up high, not in arrogance, but just fully persuaded that I am beautiful, strong, resilient, an overcomer, relevant, necessary, needed, wanted, desired. And I don't have to worry about if someone walks past me that's not as large as me and they look better in their clothes. I will compliment them, but not compare myself to them. Whatever size you are, sister, whether you are small frame, big bone, obese, whatever, keep your body clean, smelling sweet, and shop for clothing that complements what you've got going on today. Everything isn't for everybody. You won't see me in no move something dresses, honey. Now, if I had an Erica Campbell body, I probably would try one good time. But I'm saying that to say, sis, you are beautiful. You are amazing. You are brilliant. You are dynamic. You have something that somebody else needs. You are necessary, sis. Hold your head up. Stick your chest out a little bit. Get them shoulders back. We don't have to walk around downtrodden and our heads hung low. Every night when I go to bed and I take my headscarf off and I realize how much hair I've lost, I cry. I do. But then I get up in the morning and I put my turban on. I'm about to order some turbans, some pretty colored turbans. And get ready for the spring, summer. I do have my cute little lace front. Sometimes I don't feel like being lacy or fronty. I put on my turban and keep it going. I'm starting to massage my hair. I oil it up. I pray over my scalp. I am not my hair. Girl, this alopecia ain't no joke. But it's nothing for God. He can heal that. And it's stress induced as well. So that means some of the stressors that I've been going through have been causing my constant hair loss. I used to be able to at least put it up in a ponytail and then put like a little turban around a ponytail and wear it like that. I don't have that anymore. But I will. I'm going over to Auntie's house and let her pray over it and braid it if she can grip it. And I'll throw my turban on, my oil it. I refuse to continue to be bogged down by stuff I can't control. And some of this I can control. My stress level, what I subscribe to, what I give my peace to, I can't control that. Me and God. I don't have to be on social media trying to save the dang old world and save the dang old world's problems. That ain't my assignment. So I want to get off here. I thank you all for whoever has been listening. And for those who want to catch the replay, will you please invite a few ladies to the page? I will work on finishing chapter one this week. I kind of been up and down health-wise. Continue to pray for me and thank you for your patience as I heal. Because that's one thing, one reason why we end up having these spouts and bouts of sickness is that we don't allow ourselves proper rest, nourishment, hydration, relaxation. When I tell you, when I come up out of this, and when the Lord blesses me with all that's held up right now, and we do our first good. Hold on, y'all. I don't know what I hit. But when I get myself together and God blesses me,
to be able to do our first Girl Chat Weekly and Shades of Chocolate retreat. And we travel up to Gladwin, Michigan, which is about 2.5 hours out of Detroit. And we get our suite, even if it's just 4 or 5 of us women. And we have relaxation time, spa services. We have some icebreakers. We have some good food. We go out or stay in. We can cook in our suite. And we have some time of fellowship, talking, book club chat, and whatever else God will have us to do. I can't wait. Matter of fact, I'm going to start writing it out now in anticipation of God preparing the way for that. But in the meantime, pray for each other. If you are not on the Shades of Chocolate sister page, go ahead and request to join. We do our prayer time on Tuesday. We share information. We have dialogue similar to what we do here. These are sister pages. For those who are new to this page, go back and catch some of the Girl Chat Weekly replay shows. We talk about some of everything, and we are going to start lining up our guests. I'm looking to go into, as we get close to the spring and Mother's Day, I'm looking to take Girl Chat Weekly to different churches, whether it's virtually or in person, and have their women's departments on my podcast. And let's see what each church is doing with their women's ministry. And let's start working together. We are all one body, right? Yeah. So let me get off here. I love you all. Continue to pray my strength in the Lord. I'll do the same for you. Again, the book club choice of reading is called Killing Comparison. The author is Nona Jones. I got mine from Thrift Books. Amazon has it, and her website, I believe, nonajones.com, but I'll post it in the comments. If you've been commenting and I haven't seen it, forgive me. I'm on my phone and not my laptop, but I will go back and respond to you. I love you all. I enjoy this. I enjoy the fellowship, even though I can't see you and don't even know who's there. It's just good to talk. It's just good. Confession breeds healing, and it's therapeutic for me. Take care of yourself, sisters. Go ahead and take care of your bodies. Set up your appointments for your checkups, your gynecological exams, your primary care visits, your eye exams, your therapy visits, whatever you need to do to keep yourself in good health. Set those appointments up. Meet me at 9:30 a.m. Mondays for Power Hour. Critical Conversations is back Saturday at 5. I will announce the topic very soon. I will be speaking second Sunday at God's Grace, Church of God in Christ. I'll drop the flyer in the chat. I would love to have you. If you're in the Metro Detroit area or close by, come on and fellowship with us. I'll also be emceeing at Church of God by Faith, my aunt and uncle's church, Greater Michigan Church of God by Faith. I'll drop that flyer with this as well. I'll be emceeing their Women's Day. I would love to see you there. So a lot of good stuff is happening for LHG. I just have to have the strength to be able to do it. And I trust God. Have a good night. I will see you next Tuesday for our next. I may even do another one this week. So just keep your notifications open. Watch the page. And yeah, I really appreciate you for being here. I do. Have a wonderful Tuesday night. Be safe, you guys. Love you.